Well, good morning, second service. Second service in the room, second service online. Yeah, you're probably looking at like, he's got Sour Patch Kids. What's the deal with that? Well, I figure you all get coffee and donuts, and you get to sit there, and you get both caffeine and sugar rush. It's hard for me to do it, so I'm like, but I want a mid-morning snack, too. So I brought my favorite candies, because I'm all into Sour Patch Kids. So, you know, they're there if I need it in that sense, all right? But you are here today not to hear me talk about Sour Patch Kids. You're here today because we've started up last week a brand new series all about the words that we say. Say what? What did you say? That's what it's all about. That's what we're kind of looking at. Now, before we get into that today, though, I want to at least just real quick let you know about something that's be coming up here in a few weeks, and it's going to last a long time, right? So one of the things we do every once in a while is we teach a course called Praxis as a church, and Praxis is really like Bible and theology and church leadership and all this stuff, and it's originally designed for people that are considering maybe being like a deacon or an elder at Redemption Church. But over the course of years, we find more people take it simply because they want to learn some stuff, right? They're like, hey, man, I want to know about the Bible and what it teaches on different things. And so if you are potentially interested in Praxis in any way, on October 7th, that's going to be a Monday night from 7 to 8, it's just an introductory thing. So it doesn't mean you're signing up for the class or anything like that. You can come, learn what it's about, and go like, oh, that's for me or that's not for me. So if you're interested in that, make sure you put that date on your calendar because that's going to be an important date so you can find out some stuff, right? So just put that in your noggin right there and think about that. But again, we're not even focusing on that today. We are focusing on really what this whole series is about, which is about our words, right? And last week, we introduced this with this idea that words have power. Words can do things. Words have might in our world. And I was thinking about what is a statement that kind of showcases just how powerful words are and kind of, in essence, why we protect this idea of having the power to utilize our words. And so of all the places I could go, all the things I could think of, I thought about the very first amendment of the United States of America. We have it here on the screen. I'm going to read it to you. Congress shall make no law representing or respecting rather the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances, right? And if you notice that, there's two things about this I think are interesting. First of all, that's one sentence. Man, back in the day, you could go run on all day, baby. Love it. The second thing about this is it showcases five areas, and if you kind of reduce those five areas down, it's all about using our talk, using our words. So in our culture, we literally have this first core principle that says, you know what, I can talk about my God or gods or the fact that I don't believe there's any God. I can share my opinion, my thought, my beliefs, whatever it is. I can write an expose on a politician or on a company or on the Federal Reserve or whatever I want to do because I have that freedom of the press, and I can actually say I assemble with groups here and I don't assemble with those groups there, and I like that group and I don't like that group, and I don't like the government and I'm going to bring a complaint. Like, all of that is in that First Amendment. Here's the thing, though, I realized when I was thinking about it for this week. The First Amendment is basically, in a weird sort of way, an apparatus that takes all the safeties off the most dangerous weapon in the world. Our words, right? We talked about that last week, that words have power. Words can do things. Words can unleash great beauty or incredible chaos and pain. And while I'm not anti-First Amendment, I can see already people are going to be like, our pastor doesn't support the First Amendment. No, I love the First Amendment, but what I'm acknowledging is when it gives this sort of unbridled permission, kind of latent to that is this reality that that permission, man, it can be unleashed in destructive ways. And as a society, we feel it. We live in an environment where people say whatever they want. It doesn't matter who they hurt. And then from that, we see all the collateral damage that unfolds. We see it with politicians and what they see, say with what celebrities say, what, you know, companies say, and what we say to one another. In fact, as I was kind of thinking of a word image that captures the challenge of words and the thing that I want us to own today, it's this idea that, like, in the bowling alley of words, there are no bumpers on the sides, right? The ball just goes where you send it. It might be a gutter, it might be a split, it might be a strike, right? And so with that, we want to be cautious with the things that we say. Solomon says that life and death is captured in the power of the tongue. And I think no place is that more true and more potent for us to realize than the words that we share about other people. See, last week was just in general, like, hey, words do things and have immense power. Today is like, hey, and the words we share about other individuals or other things or other organizations or whatever it is, those words have power too, either to bless or to curse. And so that's kind of what we're looking at today. Now, as we kind of get into the weeds of all of this, I want to first remind you that we have an app, and in the app there are notes that you can follow along with. There's a lot of stuff we're looking at today, verses, notes, points, it's all in there, everything else. So kind of realize that. But the other thing I'm going to do is I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray that we can absorb all of this and we can take it to heart. Because when I was going through this week, I was really just cataloging my own dumbness for all of you to hear in a message. So these are all things that at different points in my life, I'm like, I've done this. I've fallen into this. Hopefully we can all then learn from Matt's mistakes in all of this. And so with that, I'm going to go ahead and pray, settle us down, and we're going to jump right in. If you want to pray with me, that would be awesome. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that your scripture teaches lessons and our lives teach lessons. And sometimes the greatest lessons are when my life wasn't aligned with your scriptures and how your scriptures corrected my way of life. And I pray for all of us that that would be true today, because I really believe today is a topic that at every level we are all touched by this in some way. And so from that, we will take it seriously. We won't just be like, oh, here's another kind of topical thing that's good to hear, but rather we will do some inventory. We will make some life change. We will take some ownership so we can see course correction. And so Jesus, I just look to you to guide us in this. I ask you to teach us in a very loving but very particular kind of way so that we would be a difference-making people for you. So we thank you. We certainly love you. We look to you and we need you. In your good and kind name, amen. So I want to start off as we kind of get into this with a little bit of a dilemma that I had this week, and that is that both myself and the Bible has a lot to say about not saying much, which is dumb, right? Like, I want to warn you about where there are many words, there can be a lot of chaos, and I'm going to use a lot of words to do that. Like, I already feel like I'm putting myself on the chopping block. I'm looking for some trouble in the midst of that. But I think it is really important to try to dissect this out. And so when I talk about getting into the weeds, there's going to be a lot of weeds we get into. I wanted to make sure that we were thinking about this in a lot of layers so that we kind of have that sense of, like, internal warning, like, hey, I just want to be more thoughtful about the things I say, especially when I say things about other people. But I want to also make sure that I frame this morning so I don't take us down every conceivable path on every conceivable thing. I'm really talking about one particular category of things that we tend to say and do. And so if you're taking notes this morning, it's number one in your notes. I want to talk about the list of loveless language. I'm going to catalog as a list of things that I think are loveless language. And I say loveless because I don't want to simply to hear these things today and go, oh, well, those are bad or poor or ill-advised or unkind. I mean, they can be those things, but I want us to think more deeply and go, hey, when we say these things, at the core of what I'm saying is it's really just unloving that I say it. In fact, we get a sense of this in all places, the book of Leviticus. It says in chapter 19, do not spread slanderous gossip among your people, but rather, it says, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, here's why I dig this. I love Leviticus. I know most people are like, that's the part I skip over when I do my read-through. I dig Leviticus, right? And at the center of Leviticus is this command to love your neighbor. It's the first place it occurs in the Bible. It's the birthplace of how everybody else uses that in the Bible. What I think is interesting here is just before he talks about loving your neighbor, he says, don't slander your neighbor, rather love your neighbor. So he buckles the two together. In other words, we want to kind of own the reality that when I slander or I say mean or cruel or unkind or unflattering things about other people, it's more than just like, oh, I'm being bad with my words. It's that I'm literally doing an unloving thing. I'm being unloving in the truest way possible. So suddenly that kind of ups the ante on why this is such a big deal, right? Because think about it. If I claim I love you, but then I talk trash about you behind your back, do I really love you? No. No, real love wouldn't do that kind of thing. The other thing I think is really interesting about this is sometimes I might think, you know, when I'm sharing something about somebody else, I'm telling somebody else about them, and I'm sharing something about them to this other person. But in reality, when I do it, I'm really revealing something about me, not the person I'm talking about. I'm not exposing their trash and garbage and baggage. I'm actually exposing something about myself. Jesus talks about this. He drops this truth bomb that was actually our reading of the day. I'll just give the shorter, abbreviated version. He said, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what's in your heart. And so I was thinking about this. I'm like, okay, if that's true, what kind of trash talk lurks in the human heart? And to articulate that, I kind of scoured throughout the entire Bible. I looked at all the times and phrases and statements that kind of highlight these words, and I made for you a word cloud. Ooh, happy day, right? So, and that whole list is legit. In other words, these are all the words found throughout the Bible that describe this thing, and these are all the addresses or verses that they kind of highlight these different situations that we find ourselves in. That's a lot. Now, I'm not going to go through every single one of these because you didn't bring a sack lunch, though I do have my Sour Patch Kids. But I want to highlight some of these so you can understand the differences. Like, one of the words there is rumors, right? It's just when we have hearsay come our direction and we decide, hey, I'm going to publish that hearsay. I didn't vet it. I'm not certain of it. It's just like, they say, so I'll say. Right? And this happens all the time. Like, you know, they say that Trump did this, or they say that Harris did that, and we don't even check. We just, well, they say that, they, you know, and we just pass it along. That's a rumor. It's just the passing on of hearsay. Another one that was really popular during the pandemic, conspiracies. You know, conspiracy is just pretty much slander. Like, because so many conspiracies are not verifiable. We don't always have evidence. That's why it's called a conspiracy. I have a suspicion. I'm going to elevate my suspicion to fact, and I'm going to tell everybody else that this is a fact about these people, when it's really just a conspiracy and a suspicion. And conspiracies are dangerous things. And the Bible talks about the danger of conspiracies. Next, and this is one that, oh man, this is one I'm good at. Criticism and judgment. Right? I find it really easy when there's somebody that I think is wrong or I disagree with or mishandling a thing to go to somebody else and I'm coming as a critic. Could you believe they did this? Can you believe they said this? Can you believe they acted in this way? They never pulled this off. They never show up to this thing. They're never responsible. Whatever it is. And it's just me standing in judgment of them and telling somebody else about their stuff. That's a problem with our words. Also, a very popular one in this list is slander. The word slander, when you read it in the original Greek language of the New Testament, it's just the word blasphemy, which means I'm trying to give you a bad name in the ears of another person. They're a jerk, they're an idiot, they're stupid, they're inconsistent, they're a liar, whatever it is. I'm making sure that other people see you in a certain light. It's a character assassination, and this is one of the things that we do. In contrast to this is gossip. And gossip literally means to whisper. It's the, oh yeah, they're going through a thing. They're probably going to get a divorce because, you know, she, right? So, like, that's the way it's done, right? And we just pass these little whispers along. And then there's just flat-out lies, right? Things are made up. There's no proof whatsoever. There's nothing to substantiate it. There's no evidence. It's just, like, plucked out of the sky. I don't like you. I'm mad at you. I'm going to say trash about you because I can say trash about you because I don't like you. And that's what makes it justified. Like, that's all in there. Plus all these other words, right? Deceit and, again, quibbling. I mean, it's all there. Now, for us today, I'm going to take all of that, and I'm going to crush it down into one word. I want to use one word just for simplicity, though. This one word captures all of this. I'm going to use the word gossip throughout the morning. But anytime I use that word, think about all these different extensions and applications so that we can think to ourselves, am I veering into gossip-ish territory when I'm speaking in these ways or engaging in these conversations? And to maybe even simplify what would kind of categorize as gossip-ish, I love this quote from Rick Warren. He kind of defined it well. He says, when we are talking about a situation with somebody who is neither part of the problem or part of the solution, then we are probably gossiping. So succinct. You're not a part of the problem. You're not a part of the solution, but I'm just telling you anyway, then I should be on notice within myself that maybe this is a problem. And when we talk about it being a problem, I want to make sure that we understand just how big and serious the problem is. Solomon says this to his kid in Psalm or in Proverbs chapter 6. He says, there are six things the Lord hates. No, seven things that he detests. When I see that, I go, ooh, I'm going to sit up. Apparently, he doesn't dig this. He detests haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who sows discord in a family. If you just took that list, I would say almost every one of those will have some connection to being gossipy. Right? When I'm critical and judgmental, I have haughty eyes. And so when I say, oh, that person's an idiot, it's just me being proud. A lying tongue is when I just make stuff up about people. Hands that kill the innocent, you might say, well, that one doesn't count. But you know what? Words are like character assassination, too. Right? They spill blood maybe in a very different way. Not physical, but certainly relational. Heart that plots evil, that's going to be in their feet. That race to do wrong, I can't wait you to tell the thing about this person. A false witness that pours out lies, a person, all of it's there. Anytime I'm speaking about another or to another about somebody else, man, all of this is a risk, which is why elsewhere in Proverbs it says, man, this kind of talk is godless and it's dangerous and it's foolish, all of which because I believe it is loveless. So hopefully we are sitting up a little bit like, oh yeah, this is a thing. I got to be aware of the thing. Now let's unpack the thing. Because we might be going, well, I don't do this very often. I'm not quite in that camp. I don't fall victim to these things. But then if we kind of broaden out the categories a little bit, we'll see how susceptible we all are. So it's the second thing in your notes. I want to talk about the forms of gossip, right? Just so we can kind of level out the field a little bit. The forms of gossip come in four different categories. One is true and innocuous. True and innocuous might just be something like, you know what? Somebody shares with you really good news about their life. And then you decide you're going to go tell other people about their good news when they didn't ask you or permit you to do that, right? Like, I've done this one before when somebody says, we're expecting. And then I go tell a bunch of people, they're going to have a baby. And they're like, we are not telling anybody for another 2 months. I'm like, they're not having a baby. You know, like again, it's true. It's not, quote, harmful, but I didn't have permission to pass the news along. And so even there, I want to be kind of sensitive, like, hey, man, again, I don't want to be the person that's, like, always running to tell all the news about everything until I know for sure that I have permission to do that, right? So that's just one category. It's not the worst category, but it's a category. The more painful and damaging one is when it's true and scandalous. And I want you to notice I'm emphasizing true because I think sometimes we assume that gossip is only wrong if it's a lie. I go, no, even if it's true, right? So it could be something like, you know, John lost his job. Now, John might have lost his job, but John doesn't want everybody to know that John lost his job, right? And so when we become kind of the curators of sharing people's bad news, even though the news may be true, it does damage to that person. They're not wanting everybody to know. Maybe they're confiding in you. Maybe they're struggling with a thing. Maybe they're hurting in some way. And if you're like, pray for John, right? Like that stuff is the stuff that's true, maybe scandalous, and it can be hurtful. The third form is when it's false and insidious, right? False and insidious is where it might just be assumed, it's guessed at, you believe the worst of a thing, you don't assume the best, and so you're telling other people things that are just flatly not the facts and not what's going on, but it's like, man, it's more salacious that way. It's more engaging. People lean in when I tell the story like that even more. And that is a form of gossip. But then the fourth are expressions without words, right? You're like, huh? Expressions without words. Somebody comes and says, oh man, have you met Jill? She's awesome. And you go, right? Man, Ted, that guy is awesome. He's such an honest guy. And you're like, just that sends the message, right? Even something weird like on social media, just by liking something that is designed to kind of harm another, it could still be kind of that, I didn't say it, but I just affirmed it without a word. Those are all kinds of different forms of gossip. Add to this the problem that then there are mediums that we operate in when it comes to gossip. And that's number three, various mediums. The first is just personal, right? Personal mediums are just me to another person, me within my friend group, whatever it might be. We're hanging out, having coffee, and then it's like, oh, did you hear about what's going on at the school district? Did you hear what's going on with the new superintendent? Did you hear what's going on with the mayor? Did you hear what's going on with the pastor at Redemption Church? Did you hear about that new building? I hear it's going to be like a McDonald's. No, I hear it's going to be a Trader Joe's. I hear it's going to be a church. Oh, that's ugly. Like, have you, whatever it is, right? So personal displays, that's one medium which works. Another one is just digital. We can text one another, right? The stuff that we know. We can forward an email that a person sent to us, maybe saying something about us, we can forward it to other people, right? All those kinds of things. Add to that things like social, in particular social media. Man, that's a medium for gossip if there's anything. Like Facebook excels at this. Gossip about politicians, gossip about celebrities, gossip about one another, gossip about a community. It's all in there. Instagram, X, or Twitter, whatever we're calling it nowadays, right? These are all mediums and ways that we can say stuff about people. We can like it, we can share it, we can comment on it. And then you just take culture at large. Here's what's weird. We literally have billion-dollar industries built on the sole goal of leveraging gossip. That's it, right? Tabloids, TMZ. TMZ's job is just to go and find other people's dirt. And then we go, oh, give it to me. Give me the dirt, right? Even the news, the press nowadays, is more and more about, hey, we got to find trash on this person so we can publish this article and tell everybody about this person. It's just there. In fact, I think it's strange, like, of all the industries that kind of rise and fall with the economy, gossip stays steady, baby. Like, the economy could be awesome, and, man, gossip is robust. It could be tanking, and gossip is still just as robust. Like, can be good, bad, busy, hectic, slow, whatever it is, and gossip just thrives, man. It is like a verbal cockroach. You just can't kill it. No matter what happens, man, the words are just going to flow about other people, other things that are probably not really in any of our business. But then I was thinking about that this week. I'm like, man, it just has a life of its own. It takes no work to keep going. And so I was like, why? Like, what are the reasons that gossip thrives? Right? That's number four in your notes. And then I realized it's the Sour Patch Effect. It's like, not just a snack. The Sour Patch Effect, here's what it is. I love Sour Patch Kids because they're small and they're sweet and they're sour, and you can't just eat one or two or three or five. You can plow through a bag and not even think about it, right? Just so good and delightful, and kind of an array of different senses are touched. Here's what Solomon says. The words of a whisper are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. And she's like, ooh, so good, so good. Right? Here's what that means. Scuttlebutt is delicious. It's delicious, not just as a beer, but also as a way of talking. Like, we all, ooh, more of the scuttlebutt. Share the scuttlebutt. Take in the scuttlebutt. But it happens in different ways with different people. For example, for some, they just like to be in the know, right? They just like to know the dish on something, and then they can tell other people, so other people go, you know, they're always in the know. They know what's going on in town. They know what's going on around Duval. They know what's going on in people's marriages and families and lives. They're the know-it-alls. And they spread what they know. That's one variation of it. There's another one, though, and it's to be a know-it-all. And this is in the realm of kind of like the critic or the judge. They know better than everybody else, and so they highlight how everybody else is dumb in comparison to what they know. Right? So they're just, oh, you know, this person, they don't follow through. This person, they talk too much, right? And they just, hey, have to be the smartest person in the room. And this is one of those things that can be a way that this happens. But then there's also the one that just chooses to inflict harm on a person without them being in the know. Right? This is the kind of gossip where it's like, you hurt me. You hurt me. And I'm going to get back at you, not by hurting you directly. I'm going to go over here to this person and tell them about you, and that hurts you in an indirect way. Maybe they'll ignore you more. Maybe they'll avoid you more. Maybe they'll see you in a negative light more, and then I'm winning because I'm hurting you without having the confrontation of doing something to your face where I might have retribution. Right? So this is how these things happen. And again, I'm just here to confess. Every one of these things I've looked at some point in my life, I have fallen victim to every single one. This is just in the course of my 53 years. I go, these are all things that I've done and had a part of my life in some facet. But here's where it gets a little trickier, right? It's one thing to send out these words, but you also need a recipient to these words. And this is also how gossip stays alive. Gossip needs team play, right? You don't go to an elementary school and see a kid all by himself playing duck, duck, goose, right? Duck, 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 goose. Tag. I mean, dumb. Kid by himself playing chase. Weird, dumb. He's just running. He's a long distance runner now, right? So games need players, and because gossip is a bit of a game, it needs players. And so it raises the other point in our notes, number 5, the motives for why we listen to gossip. Think about it. You know, we all listen. All of us. You and your spouse are driving home from a party. It was like, that was nice, but did you see what they served? And then you're on the other side. Yeah, you're receiving automatically. That's a place we receive. In friendships, acquaintances, work, whatever, we're all recipients. Question is, again, why? I think there's 3 things. One is, you know what? Sometimes you're just being awkwardly polite. Like, what else are you going to do? Somebody is in your grill, they're telling you about another person, they're complaining about a thing, they're being critical about some event, whatever it is, and you're just there and you're like, uh-huh. Because you're like, if I challenge them, they will go gossip about me, so I'm going to shut up and just sit here and take it, right? And that's kind of one motive for why we listen to gossip. Another one, though, we're just a bit curious ourselves. Like, ooh, we kind of want to know what's going on. So I notice I do this. I might be on social media or I might be on a news site, and then there's some article about a celebrity, a politician, a cultural mover and shaker, whatever it is, and it's about something they did wrong or something they were caught in, and I'm like, ooh, I want to know what they did. Because again, I don't want to be like everybody. I mean, I don't want to be the person that doesn't know, everybody else knows, and I want to know. And so I'm a little bit curious and I lean into finding out. But then some of us, we just love the juicy bits all the time, right? Come on, spill the tea, as the kids say. Give me the deets. I want to know what's going on. And some people just thrive in that. They broker their life and relationships in knowing stuff and passing stuff and then repassing stuff and therefore knowing more stuff. See, I look at these 3 things and I go, man, wherever I fall on the spectrum of giving audience to gossip, I want to take seriously Solomon's words when he says, a gossip goes around telling secrets, so don't hang around with chatterers. Like, he's warning us, man, if you got people in your life that just love to chatter all the time and love to share stuff all the time, he's like, you might need a healthy boundary there. Not because you're being mean or judgmental or self-righteous or religious, but because if anything, it's like, I own the harm that this does. Like, I realize that this isn't just casual conversation. This isn't any just no big deal. No, this really does have an impact in people's lives. And I want to own the fact that it has an impact. In fact, that takes us to number 6, why gossip is so toxic. It's toxic. First, it's toxic because it hurts the one that's gossiped about. Like, you don't have to raise your hands. I tried this in the first service and everybody's like, mm-hmm. But how many of you know you've been gossiped about, right? And when you know people are talking about you, how does that make you feel? In Proverbs 11, Solomon says, with their words, the godless destroy their friends. Their friends. I don't need enemies when I got friends that destroy me with their words. The talk of the wicked tears a community apart. It is foolish to belittle one's neighbor, a sensible person they keep quiet. I mean, look at those words, destroy, tear, belittle. Just that word belittle, to force you small. See, I remember years ago, this is probably over a decade ago, I was dumb enough to get on the Duval Facebook discussion board, And this was, I wanted to do a series. I haven't been on it for 10 years. That tells you something. So I wanted to do a series as a church and say, all right, all you disbelieving people in our community, what are things that Christians do or think or believe that bothers you? Give those to me. Christians don't talk. Let the disbelieving community talk. Christians don't talk. Let them catalog the stuff. I'm going to take that stuff and I'm going to turn it into a series to try to do this olive branch to the disbelieving community. Well, in the midst of that, somebody that used to go to our church that was not a fan of mine said some things on there that weren't true of me. And next thing I know, all these disbelieving people were like, he's like everybody else. Every other evangelical pastor, he's hateful and bigoted and terrible and wrong. And he eats puppies and like just everything. It was like, right? And I remember as it just unfolded, and this is not an exaggeration, 365 comments later, like one for every day of the year, right? As it ended, at like the very thing I was trying to do, which is build a bridge to disbelieving people, now I was resentful at those very people, right? They were saying stuff about me that wasn't true of me, and then you can't get on there and be like, I didn't do that, defend myself. You just kind of back off and let it pile on. But it was like a full year that I remember going, I don't like this community. I'm bitter at this community. They can all go to hell. I don't care. Like, I had this rotten attitude inside. And I had my motorcycle at the time, and I'd ride my bike through town with my helmet on. I'm like, man, I just want to coast for about 200 yards, birds in both hands, going down Main Street. Like, you can all just die. You know, like, I had this rotten attitude in me. It was toxic. Why? Because people said smack about me, and now I was feeling smack about them. Gossip hurts the one that's gossiped about. But as much as there is a victim of gossip, there is also an audience for gossip, and therefore it also hurts the one that's gossiped too. If I'm the listener, Proverbs 17:4, wrongdoers eagerly listen to gossip, liars pay close attention to slanderers. See, that's what's weird. To be a recipient, it's telling me it harms my own soul. It implicates me in the same character. I might not have done wrong, but now I become the wrongdoer. I didn't speak a lie about another person, but it still kind of makes me a liar because I'm an audience to the thing. So it hurts them, it hurts me. And I'll get back to, you know, Siri later on that. That was awesome. That was so perfect. I love that. Right? I didn't understand it. We'll talk later. I'll explain it to you. Perfect. But then there's a third category that gossip hurts, and it's the one that's doing the gossiping, right? Proverbs 10:18, slandering others, it makes you a fool, right? If I say stuff about other people, it doesn't make me clever, it doesn't make me smart, it doesn't make me insightful, it doesn't give me clairvoyance, it just shows I'm a fool. It hurts my reputation, it hurts my character, hurts my standing in the community, right? It just does that. Aside from this, there's other things I could think of that really contribute to the toxicity. First of all, it promotes hardship over healing, right? And our mission as follower of Jesus is to bring healing, not hardship. I've never heard of relationships brought back together because, man, people gossip their way back into friendship. No, it just promotes more hurting. In addition to this, it creates division rather than unity, which I think is super tragic, again, as followers of Jesus, because our mission is peacemaking. Our mission is to bring unity, to do things for the good of the city, to seek the welfare of people in relationship. And when we are guilty of this, we're only working against that. We're sabotaging the very sense of our missional calling. But then third, and this one, man, this one just nailed me this week. It plays God instead of neighbor. Like, understand, our role as human beings, we're not God. The stuff that's for God, God does. The stuff that's for me as a neighbor, I do. I have a calling to be a neighbor in a certain way, and it means I'm not to play God in any way. And this is what James says. Don't speak evil against each other, dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize and judge each other, you are criticizing and judging God's law. But your job is to obey the law, not to judge whether it applies to you or to judge others and seeing how it applies to them. God alone, who gave the law, is the judge. He alone has the power to save or to destroy. So what right do you have to judge your neighbor? Like, I love this, right? Because he's like, stop being so high and mighty. Just get in your lane. Love your neighbor. Don't say stupid stuff. That's a really good way to go. Let God be God. Let you be you as a good and loving neighbor. Now, here's what I want to say, candidly. Everything we've covered is legitimately hard. It's legitimately hard. I can say in all transparency, this week, I probably gossiped like 50 times, mainly about all of you and your problems with gossip, all right? Like, Pastor Scott, here's all these gossipers, man. What are we going to do? He's like, I don't know, let's gossip about it for a while, right? Like you get the conundrum in there, man. It's like a cyclical power that we all are going to struggle with. And so with that, I'm like, okay, how do we move forward in this? How do we start to better ourselves in this? How do we overcome some of these things so we're not so critical or so sharp or so rumor-based or so apt to share stories? I'm going to give you three questions that you can ask yourself in any conversation you find yourself engaged in. These are kind of guarding against gossip kinds of questions, right? And we're not going to be perfect at it. We're not always going to remember these, but hopefully they give a little bit of direction so that when I'm speaking with somebody else, I can ask myself, am I crossing into this territory, or they're saying something to me, are they crossing into this territory, and do I need to be aware? So three questions. First question's this. Question number one, in talking with someone or about someone else, are my words lifting up or punching down? Are my words lifting up or punching down? Bertrand Russell had this great statement. He goes, it's really funny. We don't tend to gossip about people's strengths or virtues. We tend to only gossip about their faults and their vices, right? And I was thinking about that. It's really kind of odd that it's true, right? And so that's how we know our words are punching down, when we're being, again, just unkind, unloving, critical, judgmental, whatever. We're like, I'm just doing that thing. I'm punching down. And so we just want to be self-aware that, hey, when I'm going down that road and I'm saying those kinds of things, it's probably inappropriate. I love this in Proverbs 16:27. It says, scoundrels create trouble. Their words are a destructive blaze. A troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. And see, I think this is helpful, not just for the passage, but even in that, to kind of tell myself, like, I need to be self-aware, because in this, I could also be kind of self-deflecting or self-defending. Like, I'll tell you one that I do a little bit where I'm like, this isn't gossip, because I said some nice things before I said a critical thing. That doesn't make it gossip, right? So I'll be like, oh yeah, Steve, awesome guy. Kind of flaky, but awesome guy. Right? It's like I sandwiched the critique into praises. Two cancels out the one, right? This is what we can do. We can just sort of like justify our way into things, right? Or in the church, our favorite is, hey, I'm just letting you know this so you can be praying for them, right? You know this one. Just be praying for them. Or I'm letting you know just to warn you. They're kind of like that. They tend to do this. Oh, they're more like this than, like, it's there. Right? And so with this, we just have to be kind of self-aware. And then this also, I would even advocate, don't let the "but it's true" be the excuse. I said that earlier, but there's this great rabbi, Rabbi Israel Sanktar, and he said this: everything said must be true, but not everything that is true must be said. It's really wise. Yeah, just because it may be a fact doesn't mean it's a fact that I need to pass along to others. Instead, I want to think about Ephesians 4. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. In fact, I was thinking about this week, and I'm like, you know what would be really cool is if we get caught praising people behind their back. Wouldn't that be cool? Like, hey, I heard you were saying good stuff about me. Guilty as charged, bro, right? Like, be so good. Right? To be that like mobile encourager. When somebody's talking trash about somebody, you go like, oh, you don't know them. They're actually really cool. And if you get to know them, you're going to find out how cool they are. Like, to be that mobilized person, that's a mind bender. That's a culture shaper. How about question number two? In talking with somebody or about someone else, are my words making public a matter that is best left private? Am I turning something public into something that is better left private? Proverbs 11, it is foolish to belittle one's neighbor. A sensible person, they keep quiet. A gossip goes around telling secrets, but those who are trustworthy zip their lid. That's what Dwight Schrute says. I'm just adding that in there. It's the DSV right there, all right? So, but they keep their mouth open. Like, I don't need to tell this. I don't need to spread this. I don't need to showcase this, right? Because here's the thing about this, man. Sometimes private matters can heal when they're left private, but when they're made public, it makes healing a whole lot harder. Because now you have a peanut gallery, right? All these people listening, watching, how, who are you going to react? How are you going to, I wouldn't do it this way. I wouldn't do it that way. I can't believe she did this. I can't believe he did that. Like, that's the risk inherent to this whole thing, right? So again, the issue isn't whether it's true or false, but it's really, is it necessary or unnecessary for me to say a thing about it? Is it going to help it or is it going to hurt it? Is it going to be unifying or is it going to be dividing? Just as a freebie, because you're here, I'm going to go back to the wonderful, glorious place of the Facebook Duval message board, right? You could just look at that and say, if I comment, is it helpful or hurtful? Is it going to divide or unify? Is this going to turn out good or going to turn out bad? Even if somebody else says a thing and then you're commenting on the thing, do I need to do that? Is it going to create better blood in our community or more negative blood? In fact, a simple rule of thumb is this. Just because we think it doesn't mean we need to post it. Right? You can think it and be like, yep, that would not be wise for me to say that thing, right? See, I think this is helpful because, again, we're remembering what our mission is, to bring love of neighbor and unity to our community. Then there's question three. In talking with someone about someone else, am I promoting gossip by permitting it? Am I promoting it by permitting it? Michelle Makin once said, what you permit, you promote. What you allow, you encourage. What you condone, you own. So you may not be saying it, but you're receiving it a lot. And here's the thing you got to realize. If somebody is going to come and gossip to you, I guarantee you they will also gossip about you. Right? And so you want to just remember that. Like, hey, they're saying it to me. I wonder what they say to others about me. Because they probably are. The other thing is, if I learn to kind of live with it in my life, I will probably eventually leverage it myself. Right? And so it's just kind of like stuff in, stuff out. I'll replicate what I'm seeing. So you may say, okay, Matt, great, but how do I shut it down then? If somebody's saying something to me, right, how can I stop it? I'm going to give you four ideas, descending order of magnitude, right? The first is somebody's gossiping into you, and you literally go, you sinner, you gossip, shut up. It's an option, right? The second option would be, I have no opinion on what you just told me. A little passive-aggressive, aggressive-aggressive, but less aggressive than the first. Here's maybe a less painful one. Why are you sharing this with me again? Just that simple question. Why are you sharing this? Or maybe the softest is, hey, I'm assuming you're sharing this with me because you're wanting to brainstorm a really great way for you to be able to go and talk to this person about this thing, and I'm happy to help you work that through. And then I'll hold you accountable that by next week you'll have had that conversation with them. Now, here's the thing I can guarantee you, all right? In the most positive way, they may take you up on that offer. If not, I guarantee they will never gossip to you ever again, all right? They'll be like, don't go to that person. They don't want to listen, right? So, as we're wrapping up, what can we do? Here's one of the things I found in my own life that's really helpful is to memorize passages of scripture that remind me of important things. And today, we're all going to memorize a passage of scripture together. Maybe you've never done this. Maybe you're like, I'm not good at this. This one's going to work great. It's not going to be a problem. I don't want you to get too overwhelmed. It's like, yeah, we're all going to do this as a group, side by side. And it's very simple. It's Proverbs 21:23. It's got three basic parts. The first part, let's see it. Watch your tongue. Say it with me. Watch your tongue. Let's try it again. Watch your tongue. Perfect. You got the first part nailed down. Next. Keep your mouth shut. Let's say it. Keep your mouth shut. Let's put it together for fun. Watch your tongue. And keep your mouth shut. Followed by, stay out of trouble. That's it. Watch your tongue. Keep your mouth shut. Stay out of trouble. You just memorized that, I bet. When you're driving home today and you're going to be tempted to this thing, man, all I got to do is watch my tongue, keep my mouth shut. I'm going to stay out of trouble. But let's say you've gotten into trouble. Let's say you've said some things, done some things, listened to some things that aren't helpful. Then here's your bonus question. Am I ready to go make my gossipy wrong right? Am I ready to go make it right? Going back to what Jesus said in Luke 6, what you say flows from your heart, so why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you do not do what I say? In other words, if we can all agree that, like, hey, man, this whole form of words is unhealthy, then I also need to make it right. And if I have gossiped about somebody, I need to go to that somebody I've gossiped about and say, will you forgive me? I've said things about you that were wrong, unfair, not meant to be public, I didn't have the right. And I love you enough to let you know I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Or maybe it's going to somebody that you've said gossip to, and you go, you know what, that was wrong. I shouldn't have shared that with you. It had no purpose. You weren't a part of the problem nor the solution. This wasn't right of me. I was wrong to you, and I was wrong to them, and I just want to make it right. It might need that too, right? Next week, we're going to look at the words that we say to people directly. That's a whole different thing. But this is the words we say about people, and sometimes, man, we've hurt others. We didn't mean to, didn't want to, or maybe even wanted to. Now we know it was wrong. And we want to do what Jesus calls us to do, which is to make it right. Let's go ahead and pray together. Jesus, I thank you for the barbs, the many barbs that confront our words and how we say things and how we do things and how we conduct ourselves. And again, I'm under no illusions that any of us are like super awesome at this. But I pray that we get better, and I pray that we're an example, and I pray that we model something different. And I pray that it even reduces our spirit of maybe criticism or negativity, that we look at the social other in our community and we don't see them with negative words, but rather we'd see them as fellow neighbors that we want to figure out how to love more, care for, accept more, invest into more. So help us to get awesome with what we say and what we do. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you in your good and kind name. Amen.